All right, welcome back.
Welcome, guys, to another episode of Variable Play.
Today's episode is about card play.
Yes. Now, we're not talking about TCGs, right?
It's sort of related.
Yeah.
So, I'm here again, your host, Ron.
Jose.
Rain.
And Reg.
Oh, so Rain, you're back.
Rain's back. Yeah.
Incredibly.
Cool.
Taking advantage of that summer break.
Yeah, so you'll be hearing a lot of Rain this summer.
Ooh, Rain in summer.
Yeah.
I thought you meant that. Judging by that laugh.
No, I was amused of Jose's...
Pointing that out.
Yeah, pointing that out.
I thought you meant it na nga. You'll be hearing a lot of Rain in summer. Then he pointed it out. Then you laughed, and I think, oh... So Ron didn't mean it. Okay.
And I stressed it even further. Okay. And
the last mechanic we discussed was...
Yeah, previously on...
Last week.
Previously.
Previously on Variable Play.
It was basically set collection.
Set collection. Which we were talking about Tongue.
Just like Mahjong or Jin, you collect these things that the game says are important. So whether they be circles, any other examples?
Colors. Numbers.
Tokens.
A set of numbers.
In Monopoly, it's the colors of the board, or a certain species, maybe.
Or modes of transportation.
Modes of transportation, train, whatever. And in this episode, we're going to discuss... What again?
We're going to discuss card play.
What is card play?
That's a good question, Rain. We're glad you asked.
We're glad you're here.
So,
because no one would volunteer to ask what is card play.
Well, the reason why I wanted to talk about card play, it's actually one of the hurdles that I've encountered when teaching board games to newcomers.
How so?
From my experience, here's where the difficulty lies. It's actually telling players, explaining to players the base mechanics of you draw a card, play whatever, then play a card, whatever is said on that card, you do it, and see what happens. But to players really new into the hobby, it's actually very confusing and in fact intimidating because they find it difficult to grasp what's happening. To them, who's totally new to card play and the concept of card play, they don't understand that eventually these cards work together. They have different effects that help each other synergize to attain a certain goal or attain a certain target for you. So in Love Letter, it's there's a few synergies, for example, comparing cards, and if it just so happened that you have the higher card, comparing it to a person with a lower hand than yours, then you win. And
you at least eliminate that
player. I tried teaching this to street children in He Cares. And it was quite difficult. They're very good at spelling. They can read well. They have very good math skills. But for some odd reason, Love Letter was intimidating for them. So I investigated further. We as gamers are very used to the idea of a card is not only a number. A card, when played, does something.
So it's kind of like magic.
Yes.
Oh.
So,
can we have another example, please?
Okay, sorry. Okay, I'll go.
Vanguard.
That's a Yu-Gi-Oh.
No. Okay, someone like Pokemon.
Or World of Warcraft.
Wait, no. Pokemon is not a technically card play.
There he is. There's the trainer cards.
Yeah, there you go.
Sorry, I'm aware.
Yeah, World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft. TCG Rain is an avid player of World of Warcraft when it was still alive.
It's still alive in our hearts, guys.
One basic rule that you have to understand right away, you don't need to understand everything.
Yes. One step at a time.
So when you're working with card play, Okay. Often than not, it's about seeing what you have and figuring out which ones work together.
Mm.
So, going back to love letter, you can... The basic one, for example, is the guard. The card with the number one on it.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do with that card, it doesn't need to synergize with anything else. On the get-go, it looks like that. You play it, and you point to another player, and guess whatever their hand is.
Yep.
So you say, Princess! And get that lucky hit. If your guess is correct, they discard that card, and they're eliminated from the game.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, you will encounter the priest. The priest role gets you to look at the player's hand first. Synergizes back to...
The guard.
The guard.
Now the priest can tell the guard. Yeah, he's the baron or something.
Yep.
Hoping he still had the card.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And then...
parang hirap naman card player.
Yeah. Pero it's one of the most intimidating concepts of board gaming. Tabletop gaming. Yes. Kasi, they feel overwhelmed with all of the rules and actions that they can do.
Wait, unlike, are we including drafting in card play?
No. Just simple card play.
I don't know that much games. No card play.
What do you mean? You know, Star Realms. That's card play.
No, that's deck building, right?
No, but that's still card play.
Okay.
So in essence, you can include deck building, but deck building has two dimensions to it.
Okay.
It has the deck building aspect where you're building your deck, and the normal grind is basically playing cards and you doing whatever is in them.
Munchkin.
Yes, that is a card play.
Yes. There you go.
The way game designers structure a card game is that you normally would define the parts of a card.
Mm-hmm.
So how does
the anatomy of
the exactly the anatomy of a card. So for example, in Love Letter you got a title, which is or the name of the card. You got a number, which is in other card game systems that will be the cost, but in Love Letter that is the rank.
Right.
And then you have card text. And the card text is where the meat of the gameplay is revolving.
Mm.
And really, you for you to learn card games is really just keep on playing them.
Yes.
And you don't have to be intimidated in terms of other players knowing it better, because most card games, if it is designed for beginners, then it will... All the concepts that are used inside the mechanics of that game is also simplified.
Mm.
For example, Love Letter has a slightly more advanced counterpart, which is the Lost Legacy series.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the Lost Legacy, the Starship, and Lost Legacy, the Flying Garden.
Mm.
It's from the same designer, Seiji Kanai.
Yes.
Who's brilliant designer from Japan, and you will notice that the card effects there requires you to take in consideration not just a few cards, but now you're
all the cards in the deck.
Yeah, all the cards in the deck. You are also looking at different the discards also in consideration.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really how these card games escalate.
Mm.
My favorite multiplayer deck building is Alien Encounters.
Okay.
Legendary Encounters.
So, just to explain, card play sort of related to deck building. It's in Love Letter, you're given one deck and you're working with that. In deck building, you get to build it.
You're building your deck.
Yeah. We'll probably have a...
We have our own episode for that.
Own episode just on deck building.
It's just that we're focusing this episode on the card play itself.
Yeah.
Now, the cards, it's either in Legendary Encounters, it's either you use it to kill an alien or to help your friends.
Hmm. So it's like XCOM?
No, XCOM is a digitally enhanced board game.
Right, sorry.
No, it's just that in Legendary Encounters, unlike every other deck building games, you have an option to support your companions.
Yeah, so when cards. Another player plays a card
yep.
and then activates their power to gather resource or to acquire a card or to defeat the monster,
mm-hmm.
There are certain card decks that will tell you, hey, you can support
yep.
Another player on another player's turn.
Yes.
And that's also, I guess, the more advanced concept of card play, where there are different types of cards,
mm-hmm.
which allows you different times where you can play them. So in collectible card games, living card games,
mm-hmm.
they would utilize the concept of sorceries or abilities, mm-hmm. instants.
So basically, it's how these cards interact.
Yeah.
Yes. How these cards affect the game itself.
Yeah. So when
there's also a nice deck building game. It's called Star Realms, which it is actually nice since you make your own deck. And if you're a blob person like me,
a blob.
Very apt. Okay.
Yes. You will be fond of getting high damage. Yes.
Yeah, so Star Realms is a two-player deck-building game.
And it's the best deck-building out there. For two players.
For two players, yes.
For two players.
What?
2x.
Yeah, 2 plus 1, mm-hmm. but the x is AP.
Depends.
Still ideally on 2.
Take a look at my variable play variant, the two-headed captain.
Yeah.
So, with Star Realms, I guess the main addictive nature of card play is the aspect of seeing how cards connect to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing the more common term is combo. When
combination cards, of cards.
Yeah. When cards create combos that are spectacular, large damage or massive draws of resources, it's just cool for the brain. And the brain is really happy.
You're getting a little hit of dopamine.
And the
keep doing that. Your opponents are crying in pain. Keep doing that. Yeah.
So I get, when you start to understand the card game more and learn the different relationships of the different cards, you really enjoy the game more than the first time you've tried it.
Yeah, you develop something.
One of our favorite party card games is Red 7.
Red 7.
Not really a party card game, rather
strategic.
Very, very strategic.
Tactical.
Yeah, and it has so many layers. The way Red 7 works I think Red, you explained that in the previous episode.
We discussed this before.
Which one?
Red 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, just briefly.
It was last week, right?
Yeah,
last week. Yeah,
okay.
I remember that.
Briefly, it's basically you have palettes and you have a canvas.
You have a personal palette and the canvas in the middle.
Yep.
Yes.
So, you're playing cards to your palette and your goal is to win whatever rule is on the canvas.
Yeah, the canvas dictates which painting is the best.
Yeah. Which,
right?
Yeah, which
and each card is a color
mm-hmm.
with a number.
Yeah,
so
it's that simple. You can either play cards to your palette or play cards to the canvas. Play a card to the canvas to change
or both.
The rule or both.
But the more you play, the more your resources kind of run out.
Yep,
and you have to play it with your opponents and trying to get them to play your game.
Yes, and the game has layers where. It will add the rule that if you're playing a higher card on the canvas
mm-hmm.
than the number of your cards, mm-hmm. you get to replenish.
So it rewards you with
by spending a card.
By spending more, the higher card.
Yes.
Yep.
Instead of on you, but of changing the rule, it rewards you with a random card in the middle.
And step it up even further.
Mm. Odd numbers.
The odd numbers have special effects.
Mm.
When you play them, you have to follow. But now it just suddenly makes
it's
us slow down.
Game.
So from normally we play it fairly fast.
Uh-huh.
You see what card to play. The moment we put that iconography
mm-hmm.
in,
mm-hmm.
that's where it becomes really interesting. But for beginners,
uh-huh.
we definitely recommend not to jump all the way to those. You need to build up.
Yep. Step by step, guys.
So, definitely, Love Letter is the, I think,
the basic, very approachable.
If you learn how to play Love Letter, it's, I don't recommend Monopoly Deal too much. Mainly because
it's a gameplay.
Yeah, but the
it's more of set collection than card play. Yeah,
true.
The difficulty I have with Monopoly Deal is the fact that it was not really able to mitigate
the randomness
of cards. Okay. Most really good card games try as much as it can to give you some control. So even Love Letter, where you can really randomly defeat an opponent, it does have cards that allow you to set up a shield, like the...
the priestess.
The handmaid. I have in front of me a...
Talk to the hand.
Yeah, the Shugenja on the L5R. Yep. there's the Hobbit version, but... Really, once you're done with Love Letter, I would definitely recommend Lost Legacy, Dead Man's Draw.
Mm-hmm. Dead Man's Draw is really fun.
It adds a new layer called Kosher Luck.
Uh-huh.
So it's not only just simply card play where you're looking at what cards are happening and you're triggering certain effects. You are also trying to avoid duplicating the same suit.
Mm-hmm.
And if it does, then all of your efforts go down the drain.
It's like the set collection push your luck thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which we might discuss. A push your luck mechanic, which we might discuss.
Yeah. So in reality of it, in board gaming, it's really difficult to say, this game is just this. Because really, it's always about... The innovation on board gaming is concentrated on... How can you combine these different systems, put them together to make something interesting?
Lately, a popular card play game mechanic is called Netrunner. It's where you have these huge mega corporations, so a media conglomerate, there's this banking conglomerate, and they have these things called servers, which they have to build, and that's where they house their evil programs that are meant to... enslave the population.
Their evil, evil,
their agendas.
Evil agendas.
Corporations have these agendas which they fund to be the runners. The runners are basically hackers. And they're trying to get at the corporation servers.
They're
which
trying
is,
to foil their plans.
Foil their plans. So it's not Pusoy Dos, let's say, which is I play a card, you play a card, I play a card, you play a card. It's totally different. The runner and the corporation's decks are custom made through a set
and
of rules.
They
play differently. And so the corporation's game is all about information. They know almost everything on the board. The runner, what they have is basically, guts, and they're pushing their luck. And so the runner's working through the server, it has a lot of ice in it, and he's pushing, or she's pushing her luck. What's on the other side? What if nothing's there? So that's where the interaction comes along.
Once you've learned how to play cards and how to resolve cards, then you get to play these kind of worlds.
The access, because you're more kind of used to learning.
Yes. So once you get that skill in your head to go, okay, I want to learn Game of Thrones. Since you're already familiar with game mechanics, card play mechanics, then you can easily jump into all these different worlds that are being depicted into these living card games and even playable card games. So Game of Thrones is about Game of Thrones. And there's a Star Wars LCG. There is also a...
It's almost like a skill, I guess. That
yes.
The more familiar you are with, let's say, set collection or card plays or push your luck mechanics, the faster you learn games that have that mechanic.
Yes. And I think... One of the very basic hurdles that you have to get through as a beginner into this hobby is really card play. First one is action selection. Then once you're done with action selection, you have to really focus on learning card play. What are your complaints or
card
issues with card games?
Like all card games, I think... For me, it's a big question of theme. Because if you're handing me...
Yeah, I agree with that.
If you're handing me, like, card games that have one spear, three spears, five rocks, and I'm supposed to, I don't know, defend a village with it. I'm kind of going to be, although I have to say, it's Colorado card game, no? Card building game, no?
It's a set collection.
Set collection.
Okay. Card games should be inherently complicated because one card, as you said, that's a lot of text. It's supposed to be a placeholder for a role, an action, some unbelievable effect, which has a combination with another one.
Yeah.
So if it's like innovation that you're going to chain, let's say, diplomacy with gunpowder diplomacy, you'd better have good art there to kind of get my mind something to latch onto on what's happening.
I think that's mostly the attraction to card games as well.
They're pictures.
There's pictures to evoke you into that world.
Yes.
I was just saying a while ago, the old love letter, the very original one, has a very nice, unique art. It's Japanese sort of calligraphy drawn, but it's caricatures. The first version that AEG made using the Tempest theme wasn't as attractive.
What's the Tempest theme, sorry?
It's their series of games under that look.
The princess.
If you remember the first love letter.
So it's very
Victorian
one.
Victorian. Okay. Yeah. Then they release all the others. The Lost Legacy.
Oh, that,
it actually has a cooler art than the game itself.
Wow.
The game is good, but it really has good art.
We were playing Lost Legacy a while ago, and if you spend more time maybe kind of looking at the card before playing it, I think that says something about the art. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, this assault card is really good. I can imagine assaulting who suddenly flips over a sneak attack card and I just got killed.
But it's a pretty card.
It's a pretty card, so it's fine.
World of Warcraft.
Yeah, World of Warcraft. I believe
fantastic art.
For me, card games, it's all about the mechanics. It's how you play the cards that's important for me. So it could be like how World of Warcraft did their game. That game was awesome.
Yeah.
I still miss the game, and please bring it back.
Somebody out there
who's
listening to this podcast.
Or what do you call this?
Zanger Marsh Realm.
Or Warhammer Conquest. You're playing a card game, but it feels like a war game.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. And,
Lord of the Rings has an LCG also, where it's cooperative. You're building decks, but you're actually cooperatively fighting this main enemy. Rain, what do you like about card games?
Well, I have a dislike. Is it okay if I just
go.
Yeah.
Well, when I was playing Warhammer with Daddy, the card game, when you acquire a card or purchase a card, it feels like you purchased it and you owned it, but you still have to pay to place it. So
that's War Machine.
War Machine.
Oh, sorry. War Machine.
Okay, go ahead. War Machine High Command.
He's
explaining a deck building game called War Machine High Command.
Yeah, and I don't feel like you still have to pay for it to land to a place you want it to go. Since you own it, you bought it, so why is it?
Yeah,
to
explain that thematically, it means the first time you purchased is you built
it. You bought it. Then now you're paying logistics.
Now, to deploy it to a planet, you need to pay money to send it there. That's the concept of it. Yes, they could have done without it, but it's probably some balancing factor that they did. The designer did some calculations mathematically.
But Hordes is better.
Which is, I like
Hordes. Hordes is always better.
Which is why we like Star Realms, because the designer, Robert Daughtry, did away with the slowness of most deck building games, where it requires you to buy some woodsman and whatever stuff and slowly be able to. So with Star Realms, the pace is so fast.
It's really a compact game.
When
you have Ascension, it's big. And you have Star
And you have
Realms,
multiple expansions.
Yeah. But then you have Star Realms, it's just small.
Yes. Star Realms you can fit in your pocket. most likely.
Well, that's got to be a large pocket.
Cargo pants. And the cool thing with Star Realms is the art.
Yes.
It's like this game deserves a story.
Which brings us to the point why I get that Rich mentioned. What makes card games and card play attractive is actually the card on top of the card play. It's, sorry to mention Magic, but one of the pulls that they had with Magic was I could just imagine my Llanowar elf running through the forest and I cast Scent of Ivy, Giant Growth, and Berserk and see it as high as the Phyrexian Titan. Slams it down, kills it, with leftover for the planeswalker behind it, and then shrink back. It just really plays in my head.
Yeah. It's kind of sad though, because I recently saw a Magic card game lately, and they just play it so fast. They don't even take that time to look at the art maybe a little bit. I don't know. They just kind of.
No, it's just that they've been playing the game so long.
Yeah.
It's. Yeah.
They mentally.
They want the competitiveness of
the game. Don't worry, when they're not playing, normally the pastime would be looking at through the cards and reading the flavor text. Another.
That is an awesome. Oh, yeah, everyone.
Card play.
Oh, yeah, how about this? Name a flavor text you just can't forget.
I love the one for World of Warcraft, though.
Go. Anything.
It's by the. Well, I have to look it up.
Wow.
Well,
it's supposed to be,
I already have one.
Yeah, of course. If it's that memorable, you will remember.
Leroy Jenkins!
What the hell?
Right? This is how the game, that card
when you
works.
You play the card?
Leroy Jenkins is a card. I think
it's
was 4 cost.
Is World of Warcraft?
Yeah, World of Warcraft. Has a 6 power, but 1 life.
Mm-hmm.
Play it, doesn't do anything. However, if you shout Leroy Jenkins in that way, in that manner, it gains ferocity and can attack that turn.
Okay.
So, in official tournaments, it is hilarious to suddenly hear
someone
in the midst of the silence of people concentrating, Leroy Jenkins!
Who's Leroy Jenkins again?
It's a YouTube thing. It's like a dwarf.
The story is, there was a party in World of Warcraft. They were doing some dungeon. I don't remember which. But the guy went AFK, away from the keyboard.
I get it.
And the leader said, okay, guys, we have to be careful. Stay outside. We need to set up first, blah, blah, blah. And when the guy came back, they were on TeamSpeak. He just goes, Leroy Jenkins! And
he charges in.
And he just charges in.
Wow.
Everyone died. But it became so iconic that it was reshared until it became an urban legend.
Right. And after the game, he was like, I'm sorry, guys, I wasn't listening.
So there you go. And for me, that was very memorable for me.
Okay, I guess it's insider flavor text.
Yeah, well, it's really there, with the mini.
I get it. Someone who just picks up the card will go.
Nah, yeah. How about you? Anything?
Mine is this card from Magic called Faces of the Past, and it's something about ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And family, and normally those mean a good thing, right?
Because
they're your family and everything. But the flavor text is very interesting because it says the ties that bind can also strangle, and I think that's very memorable and worth knowing.
Oh, cool!
The ties that bind can also
I'm
strangle.
Still loading.
If you remember it, you will remember it.
Get back to me later.
All right. What else can we flesh out on
well,
card
it's
play?
Card play, basically. Like what you said, you have to play the game a lot and get used to the cards, know what cards are still in the deck and what the interactions are, potentially.
I think that's like a negative thing about card games.
Why?
There's a lot of things to study.
Why is that negative?
Because you're studying cards.
See, it's not really a negative thing, but going back, it's more of an intimidating thing if you're starting. And that's why I really don't recommend jumping into complex card games like
Netrunner. Unless you really love the topic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because if you love the topic, you are going to rip through every single card.
If you're a Game
and you're
of Thrones fan,
enjoy
battle,
it. Yeah.
You will make time.
And there are card games that are good for all ages, like Adventure Time Card Wars. That's a good support for the fans out there.
Mm-hmm.
And
it borrowed a lot of mechanics from World of Warcraft,
yeah,
except for the stats, which are absurdly unbalanced.
Yeah, and it's cool that it's a
you get
fan
to play
service.
Mevo.
And it's good for kids if they want to try out their hands with a trading card game or in the card game in general.
Yeah, yeah. So I think roadmap. What would be the best roadmap for a newbie coming into the board game scene now? And I wanna learn card games, guys. Hook me up.
Oh man, you're not gonna like that, but I'm gonna say Monopoly Deal if you can borrow it.
Okay.
then go Love Letter.
Okay. You know, I actually agree with you.
See?
Because
it's the easiest
one. You don't actually need to borrow it. It's $100.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
It's so depreciated now because of all these modern board games. The local game stores have an overstock of it. And you can burn
it. Nice.
After that, you can use it as a...
Baraha.
Toy.
The plug for your table if it's unbalanced.
Wow. Monopoly hate.
But don't get me wrong. I still love the Transformers Monopoly.
Oh yes.
Nothing beats Monopoly.
Oh yes.
Transformers.
Let's
especially
have Cybertron here now.
The blue cards, come on, Grimlock and Optimus Prime.
I actually like Monopoly Deal Millionaires.
Oh, I haven't played that.
You raise to 50 million. So the good thing about it is that it compresses the ever long
50 million lang pala ibenta ang hacienda.
No, because that's the thing with Monopoly Deal, it inherits its Monopoly roots of playing. It can extend long to like an hour and a half.
Oh yeah,
it drags. With Monopoly Deal Millionaires.
To anyone out there who doesn't know what drags means, it means the game just extends game time wise.
Beyond its welcome. Yes. Yeah. Love Letter can be done in from 2 minutes to 15 max.
Wow. But in Monopoly Deal, it's supposedly it could go for hours if the cards are just played ridiculously.
Yeah, there's a reshuffle mechanic, so it can go on forever.
Yes. Wow.
So from Love Letter, Monopoly Deal to Love Letter to maybe the advanced version of Love Letter, I think going into deck building games first would allow you to learn the basic concepts of synergy based on what's available compared to jumping into constructive design, which is living card games, where you now need to see all the cards available in the market, figure out which ones work together. With deck building games, you're given 5 cards in front of you with your hand, what works, and then you're trying to build up a theme of mechanics.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's card draw or really massive damage, as Rain said earlier. It gives you that training wheels of learning
to how to make a combo.
To how to make a combo,
yes.
Exactly. And there are levels also in deck building games. So the most generic one for me is Star Realms. It's the fastest one you can get into. If you can get it, it's available in the market
Star
now.
Star Realms, yeah.
Yeah, please do. Because it runs out fast.
How many players can play Star Realms, though?
Two per pack.
Aha, there you go.
No, you can accept up to 3, right?
If you, no,
but
it's kind of not fun because one person will always feel.
And but there are
a set of it doesn't have the set of
life.
Well, the life is also
and you start
and the vipers
and the scouts.
Yeah, but you have in one pack you can only play one.
Yep,
up to two. But yep. I believe Star Realms is still the best deck building game out there.
Because you're really concentrated on building your armada and bringing it to your opponent. Your opponent is exactly doing the same thing, blocking you from certain synergies, trying to be faster in its combos, optimizing your deck along the way. That's brilliant design. You don't need to penalize a player to make it fun. So game designers out there, do not penalize players. There's game mechanics that you can maximize on that it's still engaging and deep without trying the scapegoat of...
Well, it's a matter of preference.
Yeah.
Remember this card
game? The Marvel versus DC.
There's this card game, Seasons.
I hate that game. I hate that game.
It's a love or hate game.
No, it's just hate.
Why? Why do you hate it?
I hate it. I hate
Why?
It.
I hate
it.
I started
I
out
it. I
with...
It. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I wasted 2 hours of my life playing that game.
Well, you should have played against me. I would have put you out in 10 minutes.
I tried to finish the game, but my opponents were just backing up the time, and I was just...
But I love doing that. I just love
I
doing that.
I hate that game.
Okay, the main issue, I know what you don't like about it, is one, it can drag on long.
It does drag. It just... It's not saying
I love
it can drag, it drags.
I love... No, we play fast.
really fast.
We play fast.
Strategic.
I think the problem with Seasons is that because you draft cards and then you eventually play them, so it's like having a nice, beautiful plan that will slowly crumble as you go along. The reason why you hate it is because once it starts to go sideways for you, there's no turning back.
Mm.
It's not like deck building or card games where you still feel, no, there's still a chance. If I get this, or if he doesn't get this and I can get this, there's
yes.
a chance for me
chance.
To recover.
There's a fighting chance.
There's a fighting
chance. And especially with Seasons, you're still relying on the dice. For some of the cards.
To a certain degree, but I remember a game we had, Reg was there, DJ was there. I was able to bring down his whole plan.
DJ's plan.
Accidentally. Yeah, DJ's plan accidentally with one card.
To my bet. Is that the, no? It just shielded all of us, right?
Yeah.
Because every time DJ would do his mechanic of bringing all of us down, it would penalize him.
Yeah. So, see?
Anyway, I still hate it.
To my benefit
but
in the end.
What for me was interesting about it is the art is nice.
The art is cute but doesn't do any justice to the game. it doesn't even connect to the what do you call this? The theme.
I guess.
I like
true.
The
they're cute animals
they're
just animals they're
kind of a disconnect.
They're shoes. Then you're supposed to be wizards.
Mm, there is a slight disconnect there.
Yeah.
It's okay for me.
Yeah, but it's okay for me.
Yeah, it's okay for
but
me.
But you know what? The best card game for me.
Go.
This is a sleeper hit. It's an Epic Spell Wars. Battle of
oh,
Mount
yeah,
Skyfire.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
What is that? What is this?
Oh, yes.
You play as wizards. And
is that the one with three cards?
Yes, you get to play up to three cards. And you get to read the name in your best wizard voice. So you're wizards trying to. So you're wizards right. trying to win, trying to be the last wizard standing twice, and you're playing three cards. Three
so
cards.
You have a spells right.
You're trying to build a spell with three
oh,
cards.
Let me correct the full name: Epic Spell Wars of the Battle Wizards.
At Mount
Skullsfire.
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 Skulls
Wizard. Duel at Mount Skullsfire.
Okay. Now the characters here are very quirky. You got, what's his name? The leprechaun.
I forgot.
But Faye Tickle Bottom.
Yeah.
Then you get Fister, the fist wizard.
The what? Okay.
Pistar or something.
Yeah. But I believe this is a really good card game. It's available locally.
There's certain aspect of the theme that I don't like, a little bit unworldly.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah, the sample was Bleemax, Brainiac, Two-Face, Testikill.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, we won't explain too much of that. But
the cool thing about the cards is that if you combine them, the art joins together perfectly.
And in this sense, I now see this as actually a good practice for card play, because you don't have to see deep interactions between the rest of your deck. You're simply looking at the best three cards you can put together in your hand and play them and see what happens.
Yes.
And I think that's a good practice for card play. Take games that usher you towards learning card mechanics one step at a time, from one card combinations to two to three, and to deck building where it's a closed environment. Eventually, you can explore the world of living card games and collectible card games and so forth.
This is a kind of one of those fancy art ones, I think.
Yeah.
Which one?
This one. Epic Spell. All right, cool. So I hope you guys enjoyed that.
Yep, I do. I will. I'm not a big
brain. Anything you'd like to add?
Cool.
So expect more of these type of podcasts. Tell us your comments. Do not forget to share, like, comment, discuss.
Tell your Lola, tell your boss. Yeah.
Your friends.
Your friends.
Titos and titas.
And if we didn't cover a card game that you like to play, just hit us in the comments. Mm-hmm. And we'll probably discuss
that. Please comment.
Anything. It could be a negative comment. Yeah. That's
yeah. Right. Any suggestions. And really, we are doing this for the community.
Mm-hmm.
We want our friends to grow in this community. There's so much that the games we are playing can give. From children to adults to even elders.
Yeah, your Lola plays Power Grid, right?
Yes. Well, as I'm told, I think she could go up against.
She was able to play Splendor.
Oh, Splendor.
And she goes like this, Ereba! Ereba kukuhanin kung yung blue? Ere! Tapos!
It's always nice to know people who are still learning after, even if at that age.
I think we would still learn stuff.
Yeah, after that of course.
Yeah, I think that's. Yeah.
Rain's going like.
Yeah, in the future, it's going to be Rain teaching us games.
Yeah.
Man!
On the holographic.
Oh, yeah.
So. Come on, let's start. He touches the table, and suddenly this digital board game comes out, and we go, hello, back in the day, we don't have this digital stuff.
Where's my cards?
Where's the
knack? Where's the card?
Where's the token? How come I can't hold
the
ring?
Going, Dad, it's so simple. Don't you back talk to me. I bring out your podcast.
Where's the cubes? Dad, there's no more cubes. If it's armies, it's armies here. I want the cubes.
What if the brown out?
What's a brown out?
Everything is solar power.
Yeah. Space solar power collection.
It's a new form. Okay, cool. That's it. Thank you very much. Talk to you again soon in the next episode.
Bye.
This is Variable Play Podcast. Brought to you by... No one!
We're still paying for this!
Yeah!